Today is the first Sunday of Advent. A reminder that today is November 30th and the beginning of the prayer to obtain favors to be said until Christmas. Please note that the catechism classes will resume on Sunday, December 7th. And this Friday, December 5th, is the first Friday of the month, so please sign up in the vestibule for all-night adoration. And I remind you that we need at least two adorers throughout the night. So please be generous with your time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So Monday, December 8th, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is a holy day of obligation, and all are obliged to attend Mass that day. The Masses will be here at the chapel at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. St. Pius V School will hold its annual Christmas concert on Saturday, December 20th. And this year's concert will be a matinee performance at 2 p.m. at Half Hollow Middle School. So please call the school office for directions to the hall. And workers are needed to help decorate and clean St. Pius V Chapel here for Christmas. And that will be on Monday, December 22nd, beginning at 5 p.m., and dinner will be provided. So please call the school office if you are able to volunteer or support with this project. You may have noticed that in the back of the church, there is a sign with pictures showing Bishop Kelly having visited the school, the new building school, just recently, along with some pictures of some of our parish workers, as well as a picture of Mother Cabrini. What this means is that we are beginning a new fundraiser, and one of our benefactors has pledged to match twice the amount we donate to the new school between now and Christmas, up to $50,000. So in other words, if we donate a total of $25,000 to the building of our new school between now and Christmas, our benefactor will donate twice that amount, $50,000. So that will be a total of $75,000. So in practical terms, that means if we have 150 people donate $200 each, that will make $25,000. But of course, any amount donated will be doubled up to $50,000. So please be generous during this time, and there are special envelopes available on the tables in the vestibule for this purpose. So please make your checks out to St. Pius V School and drop them in the collection basket. And also concerning Mother Cabrini, her feast is on December 22nd, just before Christmas, and we are beginning a novena to her to implore her assistance in obtaining the necessary funds to complete our school. And the reason for choosing Mother Cabrini is that besides her building many hospitals, schools, orphanages throughout our country, she was a regular guest at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Mendez in Chicago, the parents of Bishop Mendez. Bishop Mendez, of course, consecrated Bishop Kelly and has given us the opportunity to continue the priesthood for the future. So I would ask all the families of the parish to join in this novena to Mother Cabrini, beginning tomorrow, December 1st, and ending on Christmas. And I ask you to pray it daily with your mealtime prayers, your rosary, or your nighttime prayers. And the ushers will distribute the cards after Holy Communion. So please be generous with your time in praying this powerful and necessary novena to implore Mother Cabrini for her great assistance. And finally, in the charity of your prayers, please pray for the repose of the soul of my own grandmother, my father's mother, who passed away last Sunday at the age of 99. And I was able to give her extreme unction and the apostolic blessing the day before, so please join me now in praying for the repose of her soul.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace. May her soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The epistle for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the season, that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude, "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty." We're taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Towards the end of the 3rd century, Diocletian ruled the Roman Empire. At that time, the empire consisted of Asia Minor in the east, all the way to the shores of Spain in the west. During his reign, he issued one of the fiercest and bloodiest persecutions in the history of the church. This was known as the 10th General Persecution of the Church. And it was called a general persecution because it affected the entire Roman Empire. Eusebius of Caesarea, who was an eyewitness to this persecution, described Diocletian's fury and hatred for the church. Eusebius wrote that the emperor wished to tear down the churches to the very foundations and to destroy the sacred scriptures by fire. He commanded that those who were in honorable positions, that is, Catholic bishops and Catholic nobility, should be degraded if they persevered in their adherence to Christianity. Now, during the persecution in Spain, a certain 12-year-old girl named Eulalia was brought before the court of law
and found guilty of being a Christian. She was brought before the cruel and merciless judge, Dacian. And first he ordered that this 12-year-old girl be beaten with iron rods. But this torture did not make the young girl falter in her faith. She endured the pain as would the strongest man. And since that torture did not work, Dacian the judge then tried to win the girl over by flattery, but this had no effect as well. And so he resorted to a third means. He had the most dreadful instruments of torture brought before the young Eulalia. Intimidatingly, he pointed to these tortures and he said to her, "All this you can escape if you but offer a little incense to the gods." But filled with divine grace and the strength of the Holy Ghost, Eulalia boldly refused. She even went so far as to push over the statue of the pagan idol and trampled on the offerings. And we can just only imagine the anger and fury of the Roman judge. So enraged was Dacian that he ordered the executioners to strike the girl with iron hooks. And after this, they then applied red hot torches to her wounds. Those who even witnessed this scene watched in horror at the cruelty done to such a young, innocent girl. But at the same time, they were astonished that not one groan nor one complaint came from her lips. They heard only words of prayer and thanksgiving from the young martyr. Then as Dacian watched this horrible scene, he noticed something peculiar. He noticed that the young girl Eulalia was staring right at him. The look in her eyes pierced right through him, and he was struck with a dreadful fear. And he asked her, "Why that cold and steady look?" And then Eulalia said to the frightened judge, "Open your eyes and take care to observe my countenance. Take a good look at my face," she said, "so that you may recognize me again on the terrible day of judgment. On that day, you and I shall have to appear before Jesus Christ, I to receive the reward of my sufferings for him, you to receive the chastisement due to your cruelty." And the judge just sat back in his chair. And he trembled and grew pale, and he was struck with a great fear. But so bold and so proud and so blinded by his anger was he, that he went through with the order of execution. He ordered that Eulalia be burned alive, and the brutal executioners carried out this order. The flames consumed the brave 12-year-old girl, and she died a precious martyr of Christ. Now, my dear friends, in the gospel we read today for the first Sunday of Advent, our Lord speaks to his apostles as they were gathered on Mount Olivet. And on this occasion, he made three distinct predictions. First, he said that his followers would henceforth have to endure persecutions, temptations, and great trials. The second, he spoke of the signs that would precede the destruction of Jerusalem. And then finally, he foretold the events that would take place before the coming of the last day and his own second coming to judge the world. My dear friends, today starts the liturgical year. And as Advent is a time for us to prepare for the coming of our Lord as a tiny babe in Bethlehem, the Church wishes to remind us through her gospel to also prepare for his second coming. She reminds us that one day we all must die and we all must be judged. St. Paul says in his epistle to the Hebrews, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." We all must appear before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will have to make an account of all the things that we did and all the things we have neglected to do. And on that day, we will either be full of joy or we will be full of fear. And our joy or our fear will depend on one thing. It will depend upon whether we died in the state of sanctifying grace, or, God forbid, if we have died in the state of mortal sin. Even if we die with just one mortal sin on our soul, we will spend eternity in the fires of hell. For the soul that dies in mortal sin, the devil and his agents will torment for all eternity, and they will show that soul how easy it could have been to save it. But if we die in the state of sanctifying grace, we will be certain of salvation. My dear friends, life is not a game. It is very simple. For those who strive to live in the state of sanctifying grace, then they will die in the state of sanctifying grace. But for those who are content to live in the habitual state of mortal sin, they will die in the state of mortal sin. You know, it is amazing to think of how many billions of souls, billions upon billions of souls, Almighty God has brought into this world since the beginning of creation. But how many billions have not been ready for their judgment? Take, for instance, a man by the name of Christopher Hitchens. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. He was a British-American writer, and he was famous for his debates. He was also a heavy drinker and smoker, and he died of lung cancer in 2011. But when he was close to death, someone asked him in an interview if he would now consider converting. And he was quoted as saying, "The only reason why I would convert would be because it is better for a believer to die rather than an atheist." How twisted and how sad. How sad for Almighty God, who had to judge this poor creature who did not believe that God exists. And he even spent almost his entire life trying to convince others that God did not exist. Let us think often of our own death and our own judgment, my dear friends. Let us think of our own judgment, especially when we are tempted to mortal sin. Each time, then, that you are tempted to commit mortal sin, think of the choice you are about to make. You will choose either Christ, or you will choose this world and its sinful pleasures. And if you do choose mortal sin, it could mean eternal punishment in hell. But if you strive to choose Christ and persevere in choosing Him, you will appear before Him full of glory. Imitate that young 12-year-old girl, Saint Eulalia, who in the face of such deceit and frightening tortures, she nevertheless chose Christ. A young 12-year-old girl stood firm before such trials and tortures because she looked to the judgment and she looked to the reward that awaited her. Such confidence did she have that she said to the Roman judge, "On that judgment day, you and I shall have to appear before Christ. I to receive the reward of my sufferings, and you to receive the chastisement due to your cruelty." She had such confidence because she had chosen Christ over the passing pleasures of this world. Let us then, like Saint Eulalia, choose Christ rather than sin. And so as we wait for the coming of our Savior at Christmas, let us prepare ourselves by receiving the sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion. These are the two greatest means our Lord has given us to keep our souls in the state of grace. Because if we are striving to live each and every day in the state of sanctifying grace, that is, if we are striving to love God and obey His commandments, and if we receive the sacraments regularly and faithfully, then we can have the greatest confidence that the Sacred Heart of Jesus will grant us a merciful judgment. And let us also never forget the Most Holy Mother of God. Be faithful to her Holy Rosary every day, and she will be faithful to you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.